Well, thank you all. I'm glad to be able to join you this morning. It's been a long time since I've been in this building. I think Gary Sheets was still a preacher here last time I was here. I spoke to the high school kids up in that room, and that was probably 10 years ago, I think. So, but I'm glad to be able to join with you. I have been, I've been at the campus ministry for 11 years now. And I do want to get a chance to share with you a little bit about what our ministry is about, because I don't know how many of you are very familiar with Campus Students for Christ and that campus ministry. Heard of it some, and some of you know it as a place that took Jacob Shaw away, and he never came back. And he's still there, actually. He'll be, he and Emma will be with my kids this afternoon, because we have a board meeting, so we've stayed very close with those guys. I guess that when Melissa heard that I was coming to preach, she decided to run out of town because she didn't want to listen to me today. But if you didn't know that, Melissa Shaw's been on our board since the year Jacob was born. And what is he now, 24, 25, something like that? So Melissa has served on our board of directors for a long time. She's one of my bosses, basically. So I'll say lots of nice things about her today, so you can tell her lots of nice things that I said about her, and that'll all be good. I was inspired yesterday, actually, during our homecoming parade, which sounds weird, maybe, to do something completely different from what I was planning on doing today with you all. So bear with me on that. I want to share with you a little bit of vision and such. But before I do that, I want to give you just a little introduction to what's been going on at the ministry as of late, and maybe just a little bit about myself. I've been connected with the ministry since 1999. That was when I transferred to WIU from Quincy University as a junior in college. I was an accounting major. And I showed up not interested in the campus ministry at all. I showed up at WIU and kind of had a rough transition, actually. It wasn't that good. I was pretty close to dropping out of school. And I had shared a phone call with my stepmother one night, and I had made up my mind after that phone call I was going to give it one more week, and then I was probably going to go back home and start working at the family business. And my family ran the rural grain elevator in Kramer, Illinois, if anybody knows where that is, but a few farmers might, because I'm guessing there might be one or two or 12 farmers in the room, if not more, because I'm originally from Farmington, Illinois, kind of familiar with this territory. And it was that week that a guy that I rode the school bus with when I was really little, I happened to cross paths with him on the sidewalk outside of Higgins Hall, which is the building that they just recently blew up, you know. You probably saw about that. It needed to be blown up when I lived there. It was pretty bad. And he invited me to go to this place called the Campus House. And he said he didn't really go there very often, but he happened to be going this week. And he really didn't go there very often. He went there like every 4 or 5 weeks. And so I was really in a pretty tough spot. I was pretty lonely. The floor I lived on was just kind of mean. I don't know how else to describe it, but the guys just didn't, I don't know, they didn't like fight, but they weren't that friendly either. So it just wasn't going so well. I ended up going through the front door of this place, met this guy people called Crazy Mike, which I didn't know at the time, found that out later. All went fine, everything. Well, it just happened to be that week I also got notified by housing that I was able to transfer to a different residence hall room. And I thought I'd try about anything to make this work. So I took the opportunity to take a single room, which is going to cost me a lot more, but at least maybe I would enjoy that situation and be okay to stay in school. Had me the exact same floor that Crazy Mike lived on. Crazy Mike was a small group leader at the Campus House, by the way. He was in leadership there. Every single week, Crazy Mike came to my door, and he took me to the Campus House. Keep in mind, I wasn't a Christian at this time. I just happened to show up because I wanted friends. By the end of that semester, I'd give my life to Jesus Christ. I thank you so very much for supporting a ministry like Campus Students for Christ for so many years, because it is changing the lives of students for eternity, just like mine, all the time. End up there and trying to figure out life for yourself and trying to figure out what you believe, why you believe it, what you're going to do with your life, and to have a ministry and have college students being trained how to be leaders in that mission field is incredibly important for kids like me that grew up just Highway 24 from you. And here I am now, almost 20 years later, and I've been able to be the director of the ministry now for over 10 years, And it is a dream come true to be able to to lead this ministry and be an extension of Astoria Christian Church, in a sense, to the college campus at WIU. And I'm going to give you a little bit more vision for that today. But my wife is Christy. She grew up at Lake Springfield Christian Assembly Camp. Anybody been to that camp before? Nobody. Okay, all right. Sometimes around the people have been there because it's, you know, brotherhood camp. But her father was the director of that. We met at WIU. She was there for 1 year. We have three boys, a three-year-old, a seven-year-old, and a nine-year-old. Now, I take that back. Well, no, he is still nine for two more days, and then he'll be 10. I keep that straight. Those are our boys. The campus house is a great place to raise them, I think. All their friends are 20. So I remember when Gavin had his third birthday, we asked him, because he was in this little home daycare, asked him who he wanted to invite to come to his birthday party. And they were all 20. He didn't invite one of the 3 or 4 year olds. He didn't want them. He wanted the cool kids. So anyhow, that's just a little bit about me. But we've been on the campus. I guess the ministry started in 1969. I'm not sure. I go back in the history and see how many years that this congregation is a partner ministry with us. Anybody know that information and date back on the missions committee of when you said yes, we're going to support that crazy bunch of people? Okay, it's been a number of decades. What's that? From 69, you believe? There were four congregations. I can't remember. I know that Colchester and Scioto were two of those main ones in the beginning, and I'm pretty sure Maple Avenue as well. But Maple Avenue Christian Church was kind of planted in a sense in 66, and out of that, a lot of the conversation arose, and this thing became official. But 1971 is when a sorority built a building for their sorority near campus, and 1978 is when they lost it to the bank, and that was the year that our ministry acquired the facility that you've known as the campus house for quite a long time. And that place has served pretty well for a good number of years, but had its limitations. And so you might have heard that we added some facility space. We actually added around 6,000 square feet over the last few years, and I'm going to share with you just a little bit about that. Can we go to the next slide? I want to something that you guys had on your announcements that I was glad to see, because many places I've gone hasn't said a whole lot about this, because right in our backyard is ICOM. Anybody planning to go? Okay, good. Yes, and I would like to see more hands go up if you would. Peoria's not that far away. For this conference that travels all over the country, it's going to be, I think, in Cincinnati next year. It's a little more of a drive. Then it'll be in Kansas City after that, and then it'll be in Indianapolis after that. And then it's going to be out in Richmond, Virginia after that. And we're probably not going to drive clear to Richmond. But maybe we could take advantage of this while it's right in our own backyard. This is something I take students to every single year, and man, it makes their eyes explode with the opportunities that are available for them to participate in and be difference makers in the kingdom. I encourage this congregation to consider at least going on Saturday. Have you done a congregational registration for it? Anybody know? Okay, very good. So it's costing you nothing except the gas to get there now. There's no registration fee, and that's what I do with our students. Like, it's the whole ministry is paid for. So let's just show up and go and learn and celebrate what God's doing around the world. And what he's doing even very, very locally. I'm going to be teaching a workshop, and I'll give you a little preview into some of what I'm going to teach possibly and the things I share today, because I'm very passionate about it, on the Thursday that starts the conference. From about 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, lunch will be provided, and myself and a guy named Greg Swinney and Pastor Don Orr, who's part of First Christian in Champaign, we are teaching a workshop basically on engaging international students. And the opportunities that are at our fingertips to impact the globe for the kingdom. And so if you would be interested, it's $10, cover your cost of lunch. But other than that, it's coming and getting a chance to learn from people that are working with international students and hear testimonies and maybe have some resources to bring back to your own congregation. So encourage you to consider that. But if you can't go to that, please go at least for a day and peruse around the exhibit hall, where you're going to have a chance to meet 500 to 1,000 some different missionaries and connect with Christian churches and folks in those churches from around the country that are passionate about what's going on global missions and local missions, and maybe how we can continue to expand in that. So that's that. That's my quick plug for that thing coming up here in November. So I hope you'll go to that. Okay, let's venture on here in the slideshow just a little bit. A couple years ago, we had a changeover, and this is a silly picture, I realize, and it doesn't show us very well, but this is your current staff of Campus Students for Christ. On my right, I guess it would be your right as well. Yeah, okay. On your right, that is, anybody know the name Doner from Ipava, Vermont area? Well, that was Amy Doner. She's now Amy Grimberg. She's our worship minister and technology staff person. She works part-time for us and then works for the bank as well. But she's been on staff with us her second year. Her husband is in graduate school right now at WIU, and so she's really just with us through the end of this school year, and then they'll figure out where Nick goes with his graduate degree after that. Next to her, that is my wife, Christy. She is our women's minister. She started on staff with us a little over a year ago as well. Avery Lejeune is between myself and my wife. He is our intercultural minister, and he is a special dude, as you can tell. He decided to ruin the staff picture. We were really trying to take a serious staff picture, and he is somebody that can't smile really, but he's smiling there. I don't know. It was. But we decided this really actually captured what we're like more than anything else. But Avery's originally from Ferris, Illinois, and he was the student leader in our ministry that started our international student led our very first international student ministry event when he was in college. And here we are many years later after he graduated with a master's in religious studies and philosophy. Worked on the farm for a few years over by Carthage, and now he's on our staff full-time. He's going to be preaching here pretty soon. He's our Sunday morning preacher. We have a Sunday morning worship service on campus. We have for better than 25 years in the student union. And fortunately, I have an incredible staff that takes care of things, so I can travel and be with y'all today. But I wanted you to at least see who they were and know their names and know who you can be praying for maybe specifically. All right, let's go on to the next thing here. The building on the right in that photo is a kind of a side view. I know it's a little bit dark from what we're looking at here, but is the old sorority house that we still use as the Christian campus house. That students, there's 12 apartments. There's 44 students that live there. Yes, Jacob Shaw lived there. Anyone else from this congregation over the last 20 years been a part of that? Anybody know? He's the only one I can think of right off the top of my head. I do see you have some teenagers and such around and some young kids that may eventually go to college at Spoon River or at WIU. It's an opportunity for them. Fairly inexpensive rent, in a sense, and an opportunity to live in a Christian community that's pretty unique. I got to experience that as a senior, and then as a super senior, and then as a super duper senior. So I had a long career in my senior year, but it all worked out pretty good. But that ministry building had some problems that we ran into, such as had one toilet for the public to share. We occasionally have events that have, 150 to possibly 200 people, and one toilet is a little hard to manage with that many people in the building. so that was a little bit of an issue. Also, everything was up and downstairs, a little bit of a problem. Our office space was maxed out. Our meeting room was always a struggle because the ceiling was about this high. I'm not exaggerating on that. I can reach up and touch the ceiling. And for a large group to be in this room trying to see over top of people, to see a screen, you can't, your ceiling's that low, you can't put a screen high enough for people to see it. A number of things, it sounds really bad, and we needed to solve some of these logistical issues for the future of the ministry. And so when I came on staff, there was a plan in place, and we changed it. October 2013, we launched a thing we're calling the Imagine Campaign, which is an effort to raise around $600,000 to add 6,000 square feet attached to the Christian campus house and adjust parking and some landscaping and such. And what you see behind me is the finished building that is attached there that runs to the south off of there that includes an auditorium that seats a little over 200 people, as well as office space, conference room, restrooms with like three holes in each, and men's and women's specific, which was the most amazing part of the whole thing for us, that restrooms has been the biggest need, but it really kind of was to see people that would come to events and they would go home because of the whole, they couldn't get to the bathroom in time, they leave and go to their apartment, wouldn't come back. Or we had some international students that were really turned off by the idea that we had one toilet that men and women both shared, and so they wouldn't stay. So we don't have that problem anymore, which is great. Praise the Lord for multiple toilets, right? but this building was basically completed about a year ago. Right about a year ago, we got everything completed on this. And if we go on to the next photo here, just a little over a year ago, we had the ribbon cutting, and you'll see Melissa in there somewhere. She's on the far left or right side there. And that is our board of directors with myself and then the previous director of the ministry, Charlie Ferguson, which many of you probably have met over the years, actually getting a chance to cut the ribbon. I told Charlie he had to cut the ribbon with me because he's the one that gave me the curse of the new building. he was the director at the time when they had the vision for it, and I shouldn't say it that way. That was just what I meant when I was having to be the general contractor, which I don't wish to do again because I had no training to do that. But somehow I figured it out. But we were able to cut that together. It was a great day about a year ago, celebrating the opening of this and the completion of it. If we go on to the next photo here, last school year, the very first event that we hosted in that new space, that's our auditorium there, was something called American Culture Night. You might have heard that a few years ago we started having like budget problems in the state. Actually, I think my whole lifetime we've been having budget problems in the state, but some reason we just came sober to that recently. Some reason. Anyhow, you heard that, right? And as a result, it caused some problems at our university, like certain buildings weren't available. They just took them offline because we couldn't pay the staff to keep them open, and we needed to save money any way we could. Some of the facilities that were used to host things like this were made unavailable at the start of the school year, and they weren't going to make them available until the end of the school year. So the assistant director over orientation and international student activities got a hold of me and said, what are the chances we could host our big orientation event in your building? Yes, absolutely. Bring all the brand new international students right to our building the very first day that they're in town. Absolutely. Where do I sign? And so we did. Around 150 people showed up and came to this dinner and program, of which I believe 70 of them were brand new international students, and over 100 of them were international students in general that were at this event. The very first thing we got to host in this new facility, we never would have had the opportunity to do that without a facility that was accessible, had restroom space and kitchen space and the tables and chairs available for them to do that. And the opportunity that we've had with students from all over the globe has just continued to explode. And I think that this was a real key to that, them just having exposure, that this isn't just some weird place off campus. They see this as part of campus now. And it's pretty incredible to have that type of relationship and trust with our university and have the opportunity to expose so many students to the Christian community that's at WIU. Let's go on to the next slide if we can. This is a picture of just our current student group. Our campus ministry, when I was in college, they all came from towns like me and towns like this. And they were all, for the most part, within about an hour of Macomb. Most of them came from the Christian churches that are in that kind of radius, in a sense, of Macomb. And we all kind of looked the same and talked the same and did the same things. Boy, it's not that way anymore. It's probably hard to see in that photo. It was kind of getting dark when we took that. But in that photo, there are at least 10 nations represented. Currently, there are almost 50% of our student population is international students. And this is just a small gathering. I mean, that wasn't everybody that was involved in the ministry. That was just people that were there that one night we took that photo. And from every major continent. We have 3 students from Paraguay right now. You don't run into them very often, but there are. You got South America there, and you've got students from North American countries, obviously. But then there's Russian students involved in our ministry from European part of Russia, as well as students from India and Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and China, South Korea, Malaysia, Mongolia, and I'm probably missing 4 or 5 in that list. But if you got up close, you could see that when you looked at this photo. It's a pretty diverse group. And I'll talk a little bit why that is. Let's go on to the last photo here of what's gone on in the last year. You remember I said in October 2013 we launched the idea of the project. We started building about 3 years ago. And last May, when we finished the project, we had a loan of $120,000 at the bank. That was last December. And in May, we were able to pay that loan off. And the building is built and debt-free in 3.5 years. I'm blown away because I never imagined that's what was going to happen. I didn't think that we'd even be getting into it yet. Actually, I had envisioned that it was going to be about September, October of 2018 that we might start building. God had different plans, and he needed to be there and ready, I think, to engage these international students that were going to come because we were going to have budget problems. I think God has interesting means to accomplish his will that we don't even imagine, and we got an opportunity to participate in that. I want to share with you, that's all I have for pictures for you this morning. I've got some information for y'all that I could give you afterwards as well, especially for anybody who has students that are possibly coming our way from not just admission stuff, but really things about our ministry, how they can be involved, the service opportunities we have, leadership opportunities, the Bible teaching, the being a part of the Christian campus house and being able to live there and what that all looks like. But I want to talk to you something about, I think that whenever my kids and grandkids and such decide that I'm to the point that I have nothing else to share with them. I'm still going to be talking about this, I guess. Like when I am days from my final days on earth, I'm still going to be talking about this. It's my favorite thing to talk about. I've already kind of clued you in on it a little bit as well. But the opportunity that we have right here in Forgottonia, but in the United States of America, to make an impact for the globe. And we've known about this to some degree. I'm sure that there's a fair number of you in this congregation have asked you, what's the Great Commission? And you would just say it, because you've got it. You know, Jesus came to his disciples and said, authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of who? All nations, all ethne, all people groups, all language groups, all the different people. Make disciples of them. And for quite a long time, and really, this is the founding of our country, the church has done a pretty incredible job of sending people to the different people groups that are all over the world and still trying to engage, and we're still really engaged in that, and it's very, very good. But we also exist in a place where the world kind of ends up here, too. And I want to just share a little bit of vision about that, if I possibly can, and try to keep an eye on my time, too, by the way. I don't see a clock back there. Let me do this. Okay, I'm good. Is there one? Oh, well, looky there. Okay, I'll just look off my left. You know what I'm doing. Just a couple stories for you from Scripture. In Acts chapter 8, we got this guy named Philip. You might be familiar with Philip a little bit. And Philip ends up in this huge revival up in Samaria. And while he's up there, things are going great, and it's such a it's such an amazing revival that's going on that the other apostles hear about it, and they go to this area and join Philip. And you might be familiar with this story. And then all of a sudden, while like Philip is like the center of, he is like the popular dude. He is the main spokesman, the main evangelist, whatever. I mean, he's Billy Graham, all right. And then you have all Billy Graham's associates and stuff there, and they all came to him. And then something weird happens in verse 28 in the book Acts chapter 8 verse 26. Sorry. You just think about this massive revival going on, and Philip is the dude, the preacher. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes south from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What I find interesting about this is that what seemed like to be the important work of the kingdom at the time, and Philip is at the middle of it. I mean, he's the orchestrator and the one that God initially starts working through with this. All this blows up, and all the other apostles come running to help out, and yet he's called then to go down and witness to this one. As I've thought about this story some, I think, you know, it's interesting how Philip was asked to be a global missionary without really leaving home. I mean, this road that leads down south from Jerusalem towards Africa, he's told to go to, but he's not being asked to go to another country, actually, but to witness to a foreign person, an Ethiopian. And what we don't know about the story, but we can make some assumptions to some degree, is by his reaction, is that what happened to that Ethiopian after that encounter? We know he went on his way rejoicing. An important person for the queen, an important person in that nation. It's possible that Philip's ministering to this Ethiopian on this road and his going on his way rejoicing was the first entry of the gospel to those people. Being a global missionary without really leaving home, almost in his own backyard. He wasn't all that very far away, just a few miles down the road, maybe 100 miles. That episode that happened there, that very true story that happened there, I think is an opportunity that is before us, and I wonder if God isn't calling us to that same thing right here and now today. I want to share a little bit of some numbers, I guess, with you. I stay in touch with what's happening across the country in international student growth, I guess, if I could. There's the Institute of International Education, if you're familiar with that website. You can go and get this stuff every single year. But there are currently over 1 million international students studying in the United States of America. It's 1,040,000. And that is continually growing every single year, significantly. Just a small picture of that, at WIU, in my 11 years there, the international student population has doubled, okay? And that's pretty well the case as you look across it nationally. We're not seeing anything any differently. And there's around 500 international students at WIU right now. Of those million, roughly, international students in the United States, two-thirds of them come from what we describe as 1040 window countries, okay? The least reached part of the world, that's the most populated, okay? Two-thirds of the world's population lives in this window of the globe, and only 10% of it's reached with the gospel. This is areas of the northern African countries, and you go across the southern, the Middle East and southern Asia countries, all the Middle East, and you go across China, all the way over in Indonesia, all those countries in through there. Two-thirds of the globe's population live there. Only 10% of those individuals have been reached with the gospel. Yet that's the predominant place where international students are coming to the United States, right in our own backyard. A little picture of that. You think about the country of China. There's 325,000 plus students from China studying in the United States of America right now. A third of them come from there. What do we know about China? Well, currently, in the last, I want to encourage you to get a resource. I'll show it to you in a second of what you can do about this. But China, latest research, at least that I'm coming across on this from Operation World has, and they use a variety of resources, 8% Christian, okay? 13% Buddhist, and 73% atheist or some kind of Chinese folk religion that they don't, from the students I've met, they don't really hold to. They know that's what their family is, but they're atheists too. So 3 out of 4 students that we meet from China are probably atheist. And that's kind of been true for me so far. That's a lot of students. Think about India, the second largest group. India has 166,000 students in the United States are from India. India, 74% Hindu. Again, 3 out of every 4 Indian students I meet are Hindu. Only 6% of India is Christian. 14% Muslim. Almost every single one of them that I will meet will either be Hindu or Muslim. It's encouraging. I've met a few Christians from India, though, over the years at WIU. A very fast-growing population of students in the United States is Saudi Arabian students. Indian students are growing pretty fast as well. There are 62,000 Saudi Arabian students. Again, 92% Muslim. Not a surprise there, is it? Another growing population of students, South Korean, 31% atheist, 31% Christian, 24% Buddhist. Most of the students I've met for South Korea are not Christian. Neither one is other two. Nepalese students are growing at about 20% a year right now. 90% Hindu in that country. Every student I've met from Nepal so far, Hindu. I think there's an opportunity at our fingertips to be global missionaries without really leaving home. It's important to send people around the world. I believe in that. I support people that myself. My wife and I are financially invested in that way. I think that's important, but I think that we have an opportunity to impact the globe, because here's the deal. The majority of those students that come here to get an education, they go back home. Right now, at least half, and it might be a little better than half, I'll have to look at this again, but at least half of the global leaders in the world spent time in the United States in their higher education. People that are presidents and prime ministers and military leaders were here for a time before they went back home to be leaders. And when I meet international students, that tends to be the plan for a lot of them, to get a degree and to go back home to be community developers. A lot of them, they're here to get a degree in economics or public health so that they can help change their community and change the hope and the outlook of the people they live with. What if they went home not only with just that degree, but a life transformed by the power of the gospel? It's happened, and it continues to happen. And I want to share just some stories with you, if I can, to help you see that and how it's already going, and then maybe how you can be a part of it. I met a student from Indonesia. This would have been my very first year, I think, 11 years ago, named Danny. From Indonesia, his entire village, Muslim. He came here on a grant from tsunami victims, the big tsunami that hit Indonesia a number of years ago, here to get a degree in economics. And when he got here, he told me that he was scared to death because he thought that everybody would hate him because he's Muslim and he's coming to a post-9/11 America. And when he was going home, he said, I realized that nobody hated me. Not a single person in America hated me. But he said, the other thing that I learned was that I used to think that Christianity in America was one and the same. I always thought it was the same thing. Like, you're just, you know, one equals one. And he goes home and he says, that's not true either, is it? He knows there's something different. I think that's significant. Did he go home a Christian? No. But he goes home with recognizing there's something different from the West and the kingdom of God. And that's huge for somebody that's going to be a community leader in a Muslim village. And guess what? In the days of social media that there's a whole lot of negativity about, he and I still get to talk a lot. And he still gets to communicate with me when he might come back. And I still have the opportunity to continue to invest in the life of this guy. Because we've fostered a relationship here. And we get to continue to communicate with one another about it over and over and over again. A gal named Bayan from Saudi Arabia, she showed up a year ago. She's probably very excited because now when she goes home, she might be able to get to drive. If you heard that in the news anyway. But she's a gal that she came to us because she needed a bicycle, wanted to learn how to ride a bike better. She said, I only got to try to ride a bike in my family's backyard because I wasn't allowed to ride one out in the public because we're just not allowed to do that. So I kind of know, but I want to learn better. We started a bike ministry a couple of years ago to start building relationships with international students. She came, got a bike, comes back to get it worked on once in a while. And then she all of a sudden started coming to a Bible study. And then she went with our women's ministry up to Roseville Christian Church in Roseville, Illinois, for a women's ministry gathering. And everybody was surprised that all she wanted to talk about was, who is God the Holy Spirit? And so she had five ladies sitting there just trying to help answer her questions and help her wrestle with that. We were at a Labor Day cookout, or a Memorial Day cookout, here this last summer. We spent more time talking about God than anything else with Bayan. She's so curious, and she's like, I finally can ask questions. I've never been able to do that before. She will show up at Bible studies more times than she won't. We have about three atheist Chinese gals that are in Bible study at least once, if not twice, every single week, just loaded with questions, because all they've ever known is nothing. There are no answers. There's nothing beyond this earth. It's just what you see, and that's it. A kid from Pakistan right now, Muslim, probably obviously to some degree, for the most part, just know Muslims his whole life. We got to know him in orientation last year. Pretty soon, our relationship grew to the point that this guy would show up in my office three times a day just to say hi. He was just enjoyed seeing us. His apartment was a block past our ministry building. He just keeps stopping in, saying, hi, what's going on? This young man has gone on retreats with us when he knows he's just going away for a whole weekend and he's going to be stuck with a bunch of Christian students the entire weekend, and he's not feared off by that anymore at all. and he goes and serves with us, and he's in Bible study at least every single week with us. At our fall retreat this couple weeks ago, he was talking with our speaker after his message, and the speaker was asking him about his, if he had a relationship with Jesus and where it was going, and the conversation led to the point of him saying, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I've been kind of curious for a while, and so our guest speaker said, so do you think you're moving towards Jesus some? He goes, well, I really don't know. And he goes, well, do you think that you've been talking about Jesus a whole lot more in the last 6 months than you have ever in your life prior? And he's like, yeah, I think I have. I guess I am maybe moving towards Jesus. This is coming from a Muslim kid. Yang Wu came from China, collegiate swimmer, almost on the Olympic team in China, kinesiology master's degree student. She met a couple of our students in orientation a number of years ago. They became her English conversation partner. They started going to things together, which meant Yang Wu would go with these two gals to Sunday worship service, and she started listening to the sermons that we were preaching every Sunday. And then she decided she wanted to have a closer relationship, and so we moved her into the campus house with these gals, living in an apartment with them. She's with us for 4 semesters, and at the end of her 4th semester, one of those two gals that met her the very first day she came to campus and went to orientation, and a group of us traveled with Yang and Rebecca to Maple Avenue Christian Church, where Yang was immersed into Christ right before her graduation. She's currently a swim coach in Singapore. You know, again, a third of that country is Chinese, and the opportunity that she has, and she knows the opportunity she's got. She said that my people have no hope. They've never had it. And now I know what that hope is, and she knows that it's important for her to share that. You think of the influence that, for those of you that were athletes, the influence that your coaches had on your life. And maybe that's not true. For me, my coaches had a real major impact on my life. All these are playing baseball. Man, every one of them has an important place in my heart. Can you imagine one of them saw that as their important mission field to help you know the hope that you can have in Jesus Christ? That's more important than the sport that you're playing or anything else you have in your life. That's Yang's mission right now as a swim coach in Singapore. This is a ministry that you guys have been a part of for a long, 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 long time. And this is an extension of Astoria Christian Church, and I hope you celebrate in that, and you're excited about that, that there is an opportunity that you are participating in, even though you're not currently maybe hands-on, some of you, but you are. And I know that you're praying about that, and I want to give you more specific things to pray about, because this opportunity has continued to explode. When I came on staff over 10 years ago, our international student population was 1. And this isn't to say anything about me. It's just that God has given us an opportunity, and we've been highly intentional with 2 or 3 or 4, and it's exploded to where now half of our students, 40 to 50 of them, are international students that we work with every single week. A little better than half of those, of that half, are Christian students, but the others are not. And I explain to you, every single Wednesday night, I have a gal from Mongolia in our Bible study, a gal from Malaysia, and 2 gals from China that are in Bible study. All 4 of them are atheists. We have this kid from Pakistan that's a Muslim. Every single week he's there. We usually have an atheist kid from Russia there as well. And then there's a kid named, surprising, his name is Islam Muhammad. Guess where he's from? Saudi Arabia. I shouldn't say every week, probably every 3rd week that he's there. And that list can go on and on. And again, it's not another thing of, look how great Campus Students of Christ is. Like, look what opportunity God has thrown right in our backyard. I'm super excited that he's given us the chance to participate in that, and maybe some of our students have seen that vision and jumped on board with it. But I want to ask you to be intentional about that too, maybe even more. There are 2 things I want to share with you as I am incredibly out of time. You're not that far from Macomb. Some of you may go there every single week. Anybody work in Macomb? Sometimes I run into people that even this far out are working. Okay, yeah. I thought you looked familiar. I see you at Calvary. Walmart. Oh, okay, that's where I've seen you. I was like, I know, I recognize you. I'm not sure why. There's a program I've been talking about when I've gone to the churches for a number of years that Western offers. It's called International Neighbors. And simply what that is that they are looking for American individuals or families to make themselves available to adopt an international student and meet with that international student once a month for a semester, which means 3 or 4 times for 1 semester, to do something. My mentor and his wife, they're both 77, 78 years old. They're doing that for the first time this year, And for them, what does that mean? It means taking a national student to an Amish bakery, which is a really foreign concept to a lot of them. Like, what is this, and what is this Amish thing? They expose them to that. Getting them around the table to eat. Letting them see a farm. I can't tell you what an eye-opening and inspiring experience is for a lot of international students to ride in a combine for the first time. Just blown away by the whole experience. Some of y'all that have combines, you have an amazing tool for international student ministry. They're going to love you for that. Former preacher at Bowen Christian Church, Tom Mahaffey, has his first international student in the international aid program this year. He's taking him golfing. At least that's what he told me he's going to do, and I'm not shocked because that's what Tom loves to do. What you like to do is what these students might like to experience and know what it's like to be an American. They want to know what American life's like. And something just as simple as getting around the table at your house to have dinner is an amazing experience for them. The number one disappointment year after year after year when international students are surveyed when they go home that they had when they were in America was that they never got to see the inside of an American home. How easy is that? Just to bring them home for dinner once. Let them see Thanksgiving. That's huge. That's huge, huge, huge. You want information about that, I'd be glad to give you the email address of the lady that sets this up. Dana is a great friend of ours in our ministry, and she loves the fact that we have people that are excited about international students because she's felt like for a number of years she's been pulling teeth to get people excited about this. And for me, as a follower of Jesus Christ, man, what an opportunity to maybe be the first Bible a student would read in a sense by the life that they get to hopefully see through me. Hopefully I exemplify Christ. I have an opportunity to share that. And you know what's also interesting is how curious they are about what you believe and why you believe it. And they're just curious. I haven't ever had to like force a conversation about Jesus on a single international student ever. They just want to know why, and they ask me. Open door to share the gospel. That's one thing that you really could do if you wanted to. And he had time to do that and such to make that drive. You go pick them up and do something with them. Even if you're going to just go to Walmart in Macomb, how many of them don't have transportation and just need somebody to take them to Walmart? That would be a great thing to build some trust around, that you're just willing to take them to the grocery store or take them to Walmart when you're already going and help them get their groceries back to their apartment. That could be huge. That might be a fairly simple thing that you do already once a month. And maybe that's something you could do as well. The second thing I ask you to do, if you're not familiar with this resource, I want you to be familiar with it, is this thing called Operation World. And I want you to be familiar with the countries that students are coming from that are studying at our university and intentionally pray for them. And this is a great prayer guide for you. I know it looks intimidating, but there's individual little sections designated to different countries around the world to tell you what's going on in that world, what the unrest might be, what the great things might be, what the advancements of the kingdom are, and what the hindrances to the advancement of the gospel in those countries are. Our first resource and our first tool is the power of prayer and asking God the Holy Spirit to move in mighty ways. I think we've seen that continue to happen, and we can't have enough people partnering in that. Maybe get one of these. You may even have some of these here at the church. Some of you may even own them. Great resource in order for us to be partnered together and make an impact for the world or for the kingdom to the world as the world comes to our backyard. Again, over 1 million international students, and that number continues to grow. It continues to grow and continues to grow. And the chances with students from places that it's been really hard to reach with the gospel, God is giving us creative access to the world, be difference makers for his name's sake. I hope you'll engage in that in some way, somehow. And there's a lot of other things we could talk about. That's why I'm teaching a workshop about it in Peoria in November, along with a couple other guys that are way smarter than me and have tons more experience than I do. And maybe some of them here can come learn about that. So I encourage you to take some steps in that. If nothing else, right here. Okay? And maybe as a family, you dedicate dinner time to praying for a different nation and learning what's going on with that and praying for them. But Campus Students of Christ isn't just about international students. It's about helping students from right here in Astoria, Illinois, when they come to college, to become leaders for the kingdom in their discipline, so that wherever God takes them after they leave WIU, they'll be a leader for the kingdom wherever he takes them, whether it's right back here in Astoria or it's in Russia or China or Indonesia or somewhere else all around the globe. Thank you. For partnering with us for all these years, and I hope you will continue to do that until Jesus comes again, and we'll continue to see more and more of these stories. And I can come back and share another Yang Wu story, another Islam story, and as these things happen. And there's a whole lot more to this, but we'll leave it for that. Let that simmer, and hopefully be excited about it, and ready maybe to do something about it, and ask God how you can be a part of that. Can I pray for you? I'm not sure how you close, but I'm going to do that anyway, and then I'll turn it over to whoever to close this out. God of the heavens, thank you for being a God who is not ever done with us and having a purpose for us to be a part of that matters in eternity. And thank you for using our smallest little gifts and our biggest and working through our biggest weaknesses to make a difference in that. And God, I ask that you will continue to inspire us and open our eyes to opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people groups. Those opportunities are massive, I know, all around the world and even right here in our own backyard. May your Spirit motivate us each and every day in that purpose. Thank you for being our God and revealing that light to us and giving us that purpose. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.